Hey, it's the PC Gamer Show. This week, Molly Taylor gets the PC gaming world ready for the arrival of the entire Kingdom Hearts series as best she can before it arrives later in March. Then Katie Wickens and Jacob Ridley break down some new GPU news, talking all about AMD's newest member of the RDNA family with the RX 6700 XT. It's going to be a fun episode. Stick around.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the PC Gamers Show. I'm James Davenport. Molly Taylor's back with a cursed mission. How are you, Molly?
Hey, I'm good. Thank you. Much more awake and alive than you are right now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just it's not even that it's morning. It's 10 o'clock. Like any normal human should be awake by now. I'm just, life fatigue. I think we're all tired. It's been a tough time. But it's going to get a lot easier soon. Why? Because a great work will arrive on the computer. I think it's March 30th is when a great work in its total will grace the computer. Finally, fans and the uninitiated alike have been frothing at the mouth for, gosh, years to play this beautiful intersection of mythology, like contemporary American and, well, I guess global, like it expands beyond just America mythology with Japanese mythology and storytelling. This is truly a meeting of great minds, incredible prose and poetry and interaction. It's Kingdom Hearts, the whole series.
Spend that entire speech trying not to just absolutely piss myself.
Yeah, baby, it's coming.
It's here. Well, nearly.
And we're doing this early in the month because you're going to need all the time you can get to prepare yourself for whatever the hell this is. So Kingdom Hearts. It's Molly's here to sort of like explain what the hell this is, if that's at all possible, to prepare us emotionally and practically to lay some track and get down into these games easily, hit the ground running. It's Disney plus Final Fantasy. That's like the broad, very reductive description of what these games are. And that sounds fun.
Yeah. Right? I think that's sort of what was their original premise, was this sort of Disney Final Fantasy mashup, throw in a few original characters.
Yeehaw.
Yeah, and it has just devolved into one of the hottest messes in gaming. And Final Fantasy's barely in it anymore, which really upsets me. Yeah, okay. By the time you get to Kingdom Hearts 3, I think they had so many characters by the end of it that they just went, Final Fantasy, nah, like, cut it out. You do not see them.
Okay. Yeah.
It's kind of crazy. So what started as this sort of humble, almost kind of more directed towards like Disney fans, I guess, this sort of humble game where you just run around with Donald and Goofy fucking shit up.
Yeah.
Has just turned into this complete tangled mess of games, all of which are canon. Like every single game, if it's a Kingdom Hearts game, it is canon to the story. It is lore
and matters. Everything matters. Can be fundamentally important. Okay.
Yeah. So, like the most recent game that they released, Melody of Memory, which is a rhythm game.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of like new story to it. Most of it is just recapping what's happened. But the part that is new is canon. Like you shouldn't be making rhythm games canon. This isn't a thing that should be happening, but it is.
Oh my God. That's amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah. So absolutely everything is canon.
Gotcha. Well, let's do a little bit of personal history here, because before the cast, like you were asking, I'm kind of playing the fool here. and I am the fool. I am a fool. But I have very little experience with Kingdom Hearts. But mm-hmm. I lied to you in that, like, I have played one of the games. I played the first game mm-hmm. way back when, and I remember almost nothing about it. It kind of, and I think that's fine. Cause I was like, what, 12, 13, something like that. And, played it on the PlayStation 2 and, borrowed it from my friend, one of those like greatest hits copies. And, I lost it and, never gave it back to him. And he still asks where it is. So maybe I'll come through and, with some true reparations and just buy him the series. But anyway, so yeah, I played the first game and I think, it was just like oil, water just fell off me in the moment. I remember thinking, this is novel. This is mm-hmm. goofy. And
stop it.
Yeah. And yeah, like it was very nice to see my favorite Disney characters intersect with spiky haired anime people mm-hmm. with dramatic things to say here and there. The first game though definitely didn't feel as it kind of hinted at more the sort of like the abyss of just information and melodrama and inaccessible storytelling that this game would eventually become. But no, otherwise it was kind of a fun brawler, like a little like Disney ride you could do in your basement. anyway, so yeah, cool. It was fun. What's your history with KH? Is that what the mega fan, are they KH?
I think we just call it Kingdom Hearts.
Okay.
So my history, I actually played the second game first, way back when, they used to do this really cool little deal in, I guess in America, it's GameStop, inside what is just Game in the UK, and GameStation, which no longer exists. They used to do these really cool little deals where it's like buy three games, like three PlayStation 2 games for £20 or whatever. And I remember, I distinctly remember picking up Kingdom Hearts 2, Final Fantasy 12, and I think I must have also got Final Fantasy 10 too. I think those were the three PS2 games. It was definitely Kingdom Hearts 2, Final Fantasy 12, because obviously, 10, 11-year-old me doesn't understand the concept of sequels. Especially when I was a fan of Final Fantasy, and I knew that none of those games matched up. So I just said, oh, Kingdom Hearts 2, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
So that was actually my first experience with it. And I just fell in love and then went back and bought the first one, which was somehow even more confusing doing it that way.
Really?
Buying the second one and then buying the first one was insanely confusing. And I have dabbled in the majority of the games. I haven't finished all of them. I also haven't finished Kingdom Hearts 3, which... is a bit of a yikes on my part. But yeah, I guess that's my history with it. I started with 2, went back to 1, played most of the spin-offs to an extent, haven't necessarily finished all of them.
Gotcha.
So yeah.
They're big. I know Kingdom Hearts 3 is I don't know, like you're probably better off waiting to play these games. And I think the ideal package, ideal feels too gracious almost, because it's like so messy and kind of hard to unpick, but that's why we're here. The ideal way to play these games, just wait, because there are like additions and expansions, as far as I understand, that kind of like fuck up the name of these things and add chapters. I don't quite understand, but can we just like we'll get into sort of the nitty gritty of what these games are, but let's read some of these titles, huh?
Yep. Go ahead. Please do.
fucking hell. The first game in this Epic Game Store package is Kingdom Hearts HD 1.5 plus 2.5 Remix.
it's not even the worst one.
No. So yeah, I mean, like I read that, I'm Joe Schmo. I'm rolling up to the Epic Games Store. I'm peeking in the window and I'm like, no, what's this? It's a Disney guy. And there's a anime guy. And that looks like fun to me possibly. And I'm reading this and I'm saying, oh, is this a sequel? What is this, an expansion? What is this? But no, this is Kingdom Hearts HD 1.5 plus. And every time we say reference these games, the new rules are to say the whole name. Kingdom Hearts HD 1.5 plus 2.5 remix. And I should say the remix is formatted capital R, lowercase e, capital M I X. There's emphasis on the mix here. Don't know why. Don't know if it matters, but yeah, this is Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2.
Yeah. Yes. So it's Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2, but here we go. It's their final mix versions, which I guess if you've like played a Square Enix game or a JRPG in the past, it's basically like their international version. Okay. So they did it in Japan a lot back in the day, which you probably know. They used to re-release a lot of these games with improved mechanics or new storyline, for example, but they only ever got released in Japan. So they are the final mix versions of Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2 in each package. And I think that's why they kind of call them 1.5 and 2. I don't know. That's the most I can tell you about those mainline games.
So, okay. For the dumb American, the Western person, this is just the first two games. It's the first two games, right?
It's the first two games.
The director's over here, we call them director's cuts or something like that, you know.
So. Yeah, it's the director's cut. It's the game of the year edition, whatever yes. You want to fucking call it. And then they each also have either games or compiled cutscenes. So I believe 1.5 contains, oh my god, let me try and get the numbers right, 328 over 5 days. Or is it 382 over 5 days?
I'm reading here 358.
Oh, 358 over 2. Oh my god. I knew the numbers, they were in the wrong order. God damn it. Yeah. So 358 over 2 days is just cutscenes.
What?
Yeah. Okay. So it was originally a DS title. Which kind of explains why the gameplay isn't in it, but it's actually really important. It's a very important game.
So it's just movie, like
it's cutscenes and movies. A lot of text.
They added movies in the game.
Yeah,
that's crazy. Yeah, I'm looking at this. Okay, I'm scrolling down here. This is good because this is what a lot of people will be experiencing as they try to the key features. I love this. Kingdom Hearts HD 1.5 plus 2.5 Remix is an HD remastered collection. Remastered collection is an essential collection featuring Kingdom Hearts Final Mix, all capitals and all those. Kingdom Hearts Re, colon, Chain of Memories. What's this?
Yeah, so Kingdom Hearts Chain of Memories was a Game Boy Advance game, but then they remade it into like a fully playable. It's got very weird mechanics. You like fight with cards. I'm not going to get into it, but just yet at least. Yeah, so they remade it basically, which is why it's Re-Chain of Memories. I don't think the re was on there before. Correct me if I'm wrong. This is
coming back to me. I was a Nintendo Power person back as a teen, and I'm images are strike. Was this the era of what was the other like DS Game Boy era game where your kids in Shibuya and like you're drawing on the screen to do, what am I talking about?
The World Ends With You.
Yes. I love that game.
They're actually in the Kingdom Hearts series.
What the fuck? No.
Yeah.
No.
The characters from that are in Dream Drop Distance. They kind of get their heyday in there because The World Ends With You did not get the credit it deserves. So they kind of went, hey, go to Dream Drop Distance.
Okay.
So yeah.
Oh, we're not even to that point yet. We're like two games into this bullet point list here. So Rechain of Memories, the cutscene collection you mentioned, Kingdom Hearts 358/2
over
days.
2 days.
Kingdom Hearts 2 Final Mix, Kingdom Hearts Birth by Sleep Final Mix.
Mm-hmm.
What is this?
This is arguably the most important game you need to play, especially if you want to play Kingdom Hearts 3. So Kingdom Hearts Birth by Sleep is actually a prequel. It comes in Kingdom Hearts 2.5, I think. I can't remember where it came in the collection originally, but it's actually a prequel to the entire series and sets the scene for Kingdom Hearts 3.
You get to see Goofy's grim backstory. Don't.
I wish, because dramatic Goofy is one of my favorite things in the entire game.
Wes shared a scene with me, I believe, from Kingdom Hearts 2, mm-hmm. where I think Goofy is hit by a boulder and everyone assumes he fucking died. And you have Mickey or like Donald says like, "We'll get vengeance" or something. They're not gonna kill Goofy, but they kind of pretend to kill Goofy.
the way they treat the Disney characters is fucking so insane. It's so so yeah, Birth by Sleep, arguably the most important game in the entire series.
Where did that originally appear, Birth by Sleep?
The PSP. Originally.
PS, we got a PSP game on the computer? Yeah.
It has been on absolutely fucking everything this series has. We've had a mobile game, we've had PSP, DS, Game Boy Advance, absolutely fucking everywhere.
Okay. Looks like we have another, this is the final bullet point in the list here of the first like package in this collection hitting the Epic Game Stores. God, there's so much shit here. Kingdom Hearts Re:Coded. And it says these are more cinematics. You know about these? Yeah.
I believe Re:Coded was a mobile game. Don't quote me on that, but I am almost positive that Re:Coded was a mobile title.
All right.
So again, just cutscenes, more cutscenes.
More information that you will need, I guess.
Probably one of the less important ones, in my opinion.
Gotcha. All right. The next game in this package, I love these titles, is...
Here we go.
And here I am. I'm staring at the Epic Game Store window, like kind of in something of a fugue state at this point, trying to, like a prisoner of my own, in my own mind, reading the next game on this list in this window display. And I'm reading Kingdom Hearts HD 2.8. Okay.
Yep.
Not quite the 3, but also a little more than 2.5. So okay. Final chapter prologue.
So this was
final chapter prologue.
We'll just okay. We'll breeze past that. What do they call it? An oxymoron?
It's a paradox. So I'm further like I'm just descending into the depths of just oblivion at this point.
You don't even need to play the games. Just read all the names.
Yeah, it's its own journey.
So final chapter prologue is an original. It's just a couple hours long. I haven't played it personally. Mm-hmm. It's just a couple hours long, and it's the sort of the prequel to Kingdom Hearts 3, which is why it's in 2.8, because it comes after 2 but before 3.
Where did this one appear, and how did
so
it,
this was crafted specifically for 2.8.
Oh, okay.
This is an entire original title. So whereas all the ones that we've seen before have been like remakes or remasters, this is completely new.
They came out of the gate calling it 2.8.
Yeah.
Okay. This one features that Kingdom Hearts Dream Drop Distance, which you mentioned earlier, which originally on me up a little bit.
Yeah, with the World Ends With You cast, originally on the 3DS.
3DS. So we got a 3DS yeah. game, PSP game, mobile game.
A DS game, a DS GBA game, GBA. And a PS, PS2. And PS2, of course. Yeah.
Holy fucking shit. Okay. oh my God. Ugh. Okay. And so just, I love these short summaries as if like, okay, how can we explain to the casual reader here who's interested in this game what this is about? We'll talk about like the unique appeal of these games in a bit. Mm-hmm. But here I am reading about Dream Drop Distance HD, a full HD remaster. Okay. Sora and Riku take on the Mark of Mastery exam in preparation for their coming showdown with Master Xehanort.
Yeah.
Xehanort.
They're all very confusing names.
It sounds like this. There's a lot of proper nouns in Kingdom Hearts. There's a lot of mm-hmm. Stuff like, I'm going to word soup.
yeah.
Kingdom Hearts, I think this is an X, but it looks like a special symbol. Kingdom Hearts X back cover movie. There's a movie now. So we got not just Game Boy Advance, DS, PSP.
I actually forgot about this one.
But we have movie. Have you heard of these? Movie? It's an archaic form of entertainment in which
no, we don't get those in England.
Yeah, TV. So we now add TV to the list of platforms. So new HD movie that tells the mysterious story of the foretellers from the series origin. Sounds pretty fucking important, I guess.
I actually forgot about this. I have no recollection of this one whatsoever.
You're a Kingdom Hearts enthusiast and there are just whole passages, like whole unique creative experiences that you just forget exist.
Just flew under my radar.
Probably yeah. a normal experience.
Yeah, so there's that one. And then, was there another one?
No, there's just, in this package, just says Kingdom Hearts.
Well, where's 0.2?
Yeah. Oh, no. So maybe this is different. Yeah, this is Kingdom Hearts 0.2, Birth by Sleep, a fragmentary passage, a brand new episode that links to Kingdom Hearts 3.
That's the one that's like a few hours long. That's the original experience.
The thing that kind of defines this package overall.
Yeah, that's the one that's never been on anything else before. And it's fucking crazy. It's honestly insane.
I hate that I am like kind of thinking I'm gonna try to play this. Kingdom Hearts 3 plus re space mind. No, wait, mm-hmm. what? Did I yeah, click on so, the right thing? Yes, I guess yep,
that's
I did.
Correct.
What is this? What is this one?
So Remind is DLC.
Okay.
Yeah.
To Kingdom Hearts 3? Just like
it's Kingdom Hearts 3 DLC that comes after the game, I believe. I haven't finished Kingdom Hearts 3. I haven't actually played the DLC yet. So okay. I'm kind of showing my ass over here.
It's okay. I think there's so many things that we've hit here that I would be, I'm sure like the percentage of people who have consumed all of this are a strong enthusiastic group, but are probably, there's probably like just a couple thousand in the world. if that. So don't feel too bad. So Kingdom Hearts 3, mm-hmm. you've played a good chunk of it.
Mm-hmm. I played quite a bit. I was at university when it came out.
Gotcha.
So it was kind of one of those cases where a housemate came, accidentally turned off my console whilst I was like a couple hours into a save that I hadn't saved. So I got a little bit annoyed and just never went back to it.
I'll do it. Losing a save, losing progress. No one's got time for that anymore. I do not blame you. So this is the most recent one. Technically it's not because there's another in the package. And this is Melody of Memory. This is that rhythm game you were talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. This is the rhythm game. This came out pretty recently. This was like towards the later end of last year. I want to say like September time it came out. Mm-hmm. last year, September, October. Gotcha. It was before I started working here, because I distinctly remember bringing it up in my interview as the most recent game I'd bought. So that really helped me. It's clearly why I'm here.
Sure.
But yeah, so Melody of Memory is, like I said, it's pretty much a recap on the series. If you like rhythm games, it's definitely kind of recommended to help you get familiar. Sort of get familiar with what's going on, because they sort of compile cutscenes and do a little narration. It's narrated by one of the like main trio, I guess. You've got like Sora, Riku, and Kairi, like the three, like the little trio of characters, and it's narrated by Kairi. So she sort of gives you a little recap, and then at the end there is a cutscene, which I didn't watch. I closed my eyes. I refused to watch it until I finished Kingdom Hearts 3.
Right. Gotcha.
But there is a cutscene at the end.
Goofy and Donald kiss.
Yeah, that's all it is. Nothing else happens.
Wow. I think maybe I'll play this having not played the other games, because it looks like a fucking fever dream. So I'm seeing Sora and Goofy and Donald floating through the sky over a conversation. Over a cutscene in which a young woman and a guy with spiky red hair are just sitting on a cliffside talking.
And it's on a tree.
Okay.
It's on a tree, James. Okay,
it's on a tree. Now the beast from Beauty and the Beast is here for some reason, and he's dancing on the track too, and we're hitting shadow guys. I don't know. Whew. It's overwhelming. Yeah. But is the music a big deal in Kingdom Hearts? Is that something you... Because Disney's a big deal with the music.
Yeah. I would say it's weird, because I have a big love for a lot of like Square Enix's music, especially the Final Fantasy tracks. Most of the Kingdom Hearts stuff is really great, but there's like 140 something songs in Melody of Memory, if my memory serves correctly. So some of them are duds, you know. I'll say that some of them aren't great, but there's a lot of inspiration from the Disney films, which is really nice. Some of them are directly taken from Disney films or Pixar films now. You know, they do like a really nice rendition of This Is Halloween, and a really cool from Nightmare Before Christmas. Yeah. They do a really nice rendition of it, and then a really cool version of it for like the battle music. So the music's really good, and you go through all the different worlds in Melody of Memory. You go through all the different worlds that you went through in the mainline games and in the side games as well, but they sort of segment it so you know where you are for each one.
Gotcha.
It's very helpful. It's very newbie friendly, but obviously if you don't like rhythm games, I don't know if I'd recommend it.
Okay. I do. So maybe I'll give it a shot. All right. So we just went over kind of what is coming to the computer. Computer is going to be, have like bubble gut on March 30th, trying to digest all this. But let's talk about like the unique appeal here, because it's really hard for me to understand. I'm kind of like, I kind of bristle and get a little like, I'm like, brand crossover, you know, licensing this, like it's just two things. How does that, I get cynical, I'm like, you know, how does that have any unique appeal? But as far as I understand it, like people who love Kingdom Hearts fucking love Kingdom Hearts. They gave someone, you know, like a deranged, emotionally repressed modder. It belongs on PC for this reason, I believe, like millions of dollars to like tackle their childhood trauma earnestly and honestly. And in a convoluted, like really nonlinear, in a nonsensical way. And for a lot of people, I think Kingdom Hearts is like, more jarring and like cheaper than therapy. And like, it's earnest is sort of like, it is as cynical as I am thinking about like the brand partnership aspect of this. As far as I understand, it's like, it's pretty earnest overall. And it's pretty, it's going all in with what it has rather than being this shallow, just like, yeah, there's some of the look at the Disney stuff, but, the core narrative running through it, and the people or the characters running through it are the real deal. Anyway, yeah. give me your, what the hell the appeal is to you.
Yeah. I suppose the short answer is that I think they just roped a lot of us in before it got fucking chaotic. And then at that point we were in too deep to back out, I guess seriously, they do a weirdly good job at sort of marrying Disney stuff with like Final Fantasy and with its own original storyline. All the characters are pretty well fleshed out. You know, if you go on like a wiki entry, like a Kingdom Hearts wiki entry for any one character, it is thousands of words long. Ooh. It's insane. And I think just the utter like insanity of it sometimes, like Mickey Mouse is fucking hench as shit in this game. He's like, he's such a badass. He's such a fucking badass. And it's so insane. It's so nuts, but at the same time, it's really believable. I guess it's just like, you know, you've got that little nostalgia kick. You're going through all these different Disney worlds, and some of them are really cool, like in the Lion King world. Like your character changes into a lion. Ooh. I think he is a lion. Yeah, they all get
who's
like
cuter, Sora or Simba?
Simba, 100%.
Okay, fine.
Animals over humans any day.
Lion Sora versus Lion Lions. Simba.
Lion Sora is kind of edgy. He's kind of
okay. Is his hair over one eye?
I can't remember, but I feel like it might be, you know. Anyway. He's still got the little spiky tuft, but yeah, it just does a really good job of kind of bringing in the little nostalgic crowd, the people who love Disney. Like if you're only in it for Final Fantasy, I don't know what to tell you. Like they are the first to go. As soon as there's too many characters, they are the first to go. Yeah. So yeah, I guess the appeal is just it's a really fun game as well.
I was going to ask, like, how do they play? I mean, there's a million fucking games here. We're talking about the mainline entries for the most part, or I guess that's my question: is do they play kind of similarly, and did they evolve in interesting? Like, how much of an RPG is this? How much of an action game is this? And why do you like it? Yeah,
it's definitely an ARPG. of them, you know, it is quite button mashy for the most part. You are just mashing. I guess when I was playing it on PS2, you were mashing X a lot, because that's how most of the main attacks are done. But there's a lot of sort of management in it sometimes with your items or using magic. Some of the games do deviate, like I think I mentioned earlier, Rechain of Memories. Deviates quite a bit from the formula. They use like cards and stuff. It's very strange, but for the most part, this is like an ARPG. You are going around mashing that attack button, just killing a butt ton of heartless, which are like the sort of trash mobs in the game, I guess. Yeah. Which is kind of mean, but yeah, it's just a really fun game. The story is confusing as heck, but I don't know how to explain it.
I think I get what you're hinting at. It's like if you're into that just like batshit absurdity and sort of like the modern condition of just seeing, you know, if just seeing like memory and media and like time kind of all become one big blur. And if you like melodrama, I get the impression it's like really melodramatic and like kind of silly and just like
teenage Molly fucking loved it, you know. Yeah. Like there's like a whole arc with one of the main trio of Riku. And I feel like Riku was specifically crafted for people like me who grew up with the game, who was like in their edgy teen phase. When I first played Kingdom Hearts 2, I played Kingdom Hearts 2 like after a few years after it came out, but I was getting to that sort of bratty, edgy, it's not a phase, mom kind of stage.
I do feel like there was a point in time where Kingdom Hearts was, I think it was like Kingdom Hearts 2, like at its peak. I don't remember how old I was. It was probably like 17, 18 at that time. Kind of moving beyond like, oh, yeah, I'm too cool for this shit, you know? But seeing in the Hot Topic, Kingdom Hearts symbolism, like fucking Keyblades were everywhere. I remember,
yeah,
like, you'd see the like Riku on everything in the Hot Topic. Like you're mentioning, there was like the zeitgeist, the Riku zeitgeist was high and strong and powerful at that point. But that was also like the peak of like that like late aughts emo like scene kid. And mm-hmm. I think Riku was like there from the start, maybe woke the scene kid a lot of young people.
It was all Riku's fault.
Yeah.
But anyway. Like, I definitely think it was, I don't know how it would be to get into now. I'd quite like to sort of experience it for the first time, but it's definitely just, it's something that starts off as a very feel good, mm-hmm. oh, this is super cool experience. But right from the offset, you can tell that it's looking to go into something more serious. And I think that's what's nice, mm-hmm. is that they do take these, like you said, it's not gimmicky. They don't take these Disney characters and just kind of show them off in your face and then go, well, hey, like, fuck your gameplay. Look at the Disney characters. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. Everything is so crafted. And I think because everything takes place in separate worlds, you know, it's not like fucking Hercules is meeting Jafar or something. You know what I mean? It's not like there are these crazy crossovers. Everything happens in these very sort of like small bubbles. Mm-hmm. So you can have this really nice story within like the Hercules world and then jump out of that and then go to the Little Mermaid world. And it's a completely different story and you're meeting characters. But the overarching story is still developing. So I think the pacing is quite nice.
That sounds nice. I do remember that about the first game, just really being curious where I was going to go next. And
that's part of the fun, 100%.
Oh my God. When I got to the Nightmare Before Christmas world, does that come back? I fucking better.
You'll have to find out.
Okay. Cause that was like, to me, I was like, okay, I'm a sucker for this shit. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. You got me. Cool. Yeah. So we've admitted this is an absurd, strange, like singular, probably something like, I don't know actually if it'll never happen again in this way, but it is certainly like a very rare kind of brand mashup slash like earnest work slash mm-hmm. absurd. Like you can tell there's like a crazy, like for, especially for Disney, there's a crazy amount of creative control afforded these folks. Also, okay, I meant to say this earlier. It's crazy that you don't see like Disney has kind of left Mickey behind, and like mm-hmm. this, like, I like to imagine this like jaded hench, as you say, like fucking like hooded warrior rogue Mickey as the cast off like former favorite son of this, you know, of Disney, who's mm-hmm. now living this like vindictive life in anime realms. And this is, it's crazy to me that this is sort of like where Mickey is most prominent and lives now across like for Disney.
the Mickey character development is just 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
It's incredible, but yeah, he really does kind of get his moment in this. It's and I wild. Think that's something, you know, like I said, it's so insane how like edgy and like how weirdly strong he is sometimes, mm-hmm. but it's kind of cool. And I think a game does a good job when it's doing something like this and mm-hmm. you're not actively questioning it every single second you're playing.
It's kind of a miracle, frankly, mm-hmm. that you can forget what you're looking at sometimes until Goofy gets hit by a boulder and everyone thinks he's dead.
There's also this amazing scene in Kingdom Hearts 3. They basically reconstruct the Let It Go sort of music video from Frozen frame for frame, but then I can't remember if it's at the beginning or if it's in the middle. Mm. There's just a really dramatic shot of Goofy like walking through a blizzard, like looking up really sort of melancholic because obviously Elsa's off doing her thing.
Yeah.
It's the craziest thing. I think Kingdom Hearts 3 probably has the most disconnect. It's the game where I'm most like, oh, this is a Disney world. This is a Pixar world.
Gotcha.
I feel like they get a little, I don't want to say they get lazy with it in Kingdom Hearts 3. Mm. I don't know whether it's just me getting older and becoming a little more jaded, mm-hmm. but like they just copy the Tangled storyline.
That's boring.
Yeah. That's boring. And there's like, I'd watched the Tangled movie not long before I played the game. And there is stuff in that game that is literally like frame for frame identical cutscenes to what's in the movie.
Interesting.
So, yeah, it was kind of strange. So I don't know I don't know if it's just my age or whether they did just get a little bit lazy, but it definitely feels, I definitely get taken out of it the most.
Sure. Okay.
And that Let It Go music video did not help.
Fucking buck wild. So I guess to wrap, if we can ever truly wrap, like who, you know, a lot of this is going to be hitting the computer. And so a whole new audience of people will be exposed to this, like all at once shotgunned into their dome. Who are you recommending this to? Like, and what are you telling them? You're giving them like the short elevator pitch. Like they ask you, hey Molly, heard about this Kingdom Hearts, and you're not on a podcast to spend 45 minutes like getting into the nitty gritty. Like, should I check it out? You know, what's going on there? What are you telling them, and who are you recommending it to, if anyone?
That is a good question. This is definitely one of those games where I don't know specifically who I would recommend it to, especially because so many of the people I know who've played the game played it when they were young or younger. I guess I would recommend this game if you like sort of fast-paced ARPGs. I can't think of any comparisons really. I guess like the Final, which I mean it's not on fucking PC, but if you've played the Final Fantasy VII remake,
yeah,
it operates very similarly in terms of how you're fighting. So I guess I would recommend it to people who like Disney, and I guess if you like Final Fantasy, because especially the first game is just like chock full of them. But if you're looking for something to really get your teeth into, if you have not been, you know, if you have not found a new series for ages and you are willing to spend hundreds of hours of your life sort of unraveling this just absolute turd of, I mean, it's a great game, it's a great series, but if you've got time, if you've got time on your hands, I mean, now's probably as good a time to do it as any whilst we're still mostly locked down.
I think I'm really curious to see who among, you know, my online network of gamer pals give it a go. I think I'll dabble at the very least. I personally, I like an RPG, a melodramatic RPG. I can sort of just mash through these days. I don't know if I'll have patience for some of it. But I think, I don't know. It's going to be, it's just fascinating that we get this, like, at least from an archival standpoint, we get this cultural artifact, this oddity, this singularity, and that gets to exist on it. And I'm grateful for it on the computer. And now we get to write about it. And that's going to be your responsibility for the most part, Molly.
That's going to be my favorite part.
I hope you're ready to confront the past and finish off this series. Cause I think we're going to turn to you.
It will finally be done. This is my opportunity. opportunity to get Kingdom Hearts 3 like restarted and finished.
Yeah. I will say like I've only seen Kingdom Hearts 3 once. I haven't seen a trailer. I haven't seen anything for it. Besides like out of context, Twitter screen caps or whatever. But I was drunk at a bar in Eugene, Oregon, and it was playing it on the TV. Some guy PlayStation 4 and just was playing on the TV in the back. And what I was watching was not what I expected Kingdom Hearts to be. There was like this crazy duel, like anime duel in this like sort of barren rocky space. And they were just like flying around like Dragon Ball Z style.
That's towards the end.
I'm just kind of like, what the fuck is going on?
It is. It is insane.
I was into it. Mm-hmm. Like, it was very like Asura's Wrath or just like, anyway, yeah. just the kind of ridiculous shit I can get into. But anyway, any closing thoughts or warnings or endorsements or messages?
I guess, like, don't worry about playing it chronologically
okay.
in terms of the actual lore timeline. I guess, like, it would make sense to start with Birth by Sleep, but I think I would recommend starting with Kingdom Hearts 1 because it's the game that set it all off. It's I don't even know if they knew they were going to make Birth by Sleep when they made Kingdom Hearts. So I guess just don't worry about having someone tell you what order to play it in, unless I write that, in which case, listen to me. But no, I guess that's just it. And it's just super bombastic, super fucking out there. Just really fun combat. And I think it will surprise you how much it will draw you in if you give it a go.
Gotcha. Well, Molly, appreciate you trying to untangle this thing, whatever it is, Kingdom Hearts. It's coming out March 30th. It's a couple weeks from now. It'll be really interesting to dive back in. Epic Game Store exclusive, for better or worse, whatever. I don't know, but cool. Anyway, I guess.
Don't make me do it, James.
Yeah, what's that?
Don't make me do it. Don't make me say it.
I'm gonna, but I'm like, in my head, I'm like, should I add a, should I make her do it in a Disney voice?
Oh my God. Oh no.
And I'm gonna ask that you choose a character to do it in Disney voice. So yeah, thanks for watching the PC Gamer Show. Until next week, don't forget to what?
Okay, let me try this. What? Game on!
Yes! Holy shit.
Amazing.
A beautiful, beautiful mall.
Oh my goodness, thank you.
Hi, Katie Wickens here.
Oh, and Jacob Ridley as well. Do my own intro.
And we're part of the PC Gamer Hardware team, and we're here to chat to you about AMD's newest member of the RDNA family, as they like to call it. The RX 6700 XT.
Yep, it was announced just recently in a live stream, and it comes at the lower end of the Red Team 6000 series of graphics cards, and it looks to be like a pretty promising contender, especially versus NVIDIA's lot in the 30 series.
So, what are your initial thoughts, Jacob?
Initial thoughts, kind of where I expected it, to be honest. It feels like a lot of the rumors leading up to this kind of got it pretty on point. A lot of the leaks. So it feels like it wasn't the most surprising launch in the world. I think the most surprising thing, and maybe it's a bit of an aside to this now, is we had expected two cards. We'd have got the 6700 and the 6700 XT, which is kind of what traditionally AMD would have done, especially the 5700 XT and the 5700.
That's coming up a bit later now, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, you'd assume that there is another card just because...
Somewhere.
You know. Yeah, I mean, well, we're kind of getting straight into the specs, but we're looking at the Navi 22 GPU, the Navi 21 GPU used in the 6900 XT, 6800 XT, 6800. And now we're looking at the Navi 22 GPU, that's 40 CUs, and we're using all 40 CUs for the 6700 XT. So you'd assume that there's got to be a cheaper card, because one's $479, and there's got to be one that's using fewer CUs. To use up that silicon. So, you know, we expected that to be the 6700 at launch. For whatever reason, it's not. And I think that's kind of the most surprising thing out of the whole launch, to be honest.
So this is a card that's kind of aimed at 1440p gaming. You've already said a little bit about the specs. So what else are we looking at? I know it's got not the same amount of VRAM as the rest of them. The 16 gigabytes is not necessary, maybe.
Yeah, I think obviously NVIDIA just launched the 3060, which sits kind of quite a bit below where the 6700 XT is aimed at, but that's coming with 12 gigabytes. So I think that was kind of the lower limit maybe that from NVIDIA was a response to AMD putting more VRAM on its cards. Overall, they have, you know, six, like you say, 16 gigabytes at the high end, which is more than NVIDIA, although NVIDIA are using GDDR6X at the top end, so it's kind of faster in bandwidth. But realistically, like on paper, it looks like AMD's kind of winning the capacity thing. So yeah, I think 12 gigabytes, again, it makes sense. It's going to be a good amount for future-proofing. I say that, you know, future-proofing because as much as you can ever future-proof a PC, but I do think it will cover you for longer having 12 gigabytes to say 6 gigabytes.
Yeah.
Maybe even, I think 8 is a fine amount, but 12 definitely feels like a, you know, a comfortable amount going forward into the future. So
just in case.
Yeah, and yeah, exactly. And I think that's also coming with the Infinity Cache, which is like the new feature with RDNA 2. That was obviously 128 megabytes. It's quite a big reason, quite a big part of AMD's entire like cache hierarchy and memory structure in that it takes the strain off having to have a much higher, more power thirsty memory bus, which is something that you do see the bigger memory bus on the NVIDIA cards, but you know, we can't really discern the power exactly from that. But it is something that they're saying for high resolutions is going to help out a lot. And we're seeing actually not as low an Infinity Cache on the 6700 XT than what you might expect. Because you kind of expect it, the top card, the 6900 XT, 80 CUs, 128 megabytes of Infinity Cache. The 6700 XT is 40 CUs, so exactly half. That's the max configuration of those two GPUs. But it's actually got 96 megabytes of Infinity Cache, so it's actually more than half of the Infinity Cache. And maybe that's just purely down to the fact of where the efficiency of that cache lies. Like AMD would have done testing surely over many years, as they've said they'd be working on it, like to see where, at what resolution, like are they getting any benefit of having, you know, if they put a 64 megabyte cache on there, would the benefit be severely reduced? Is 96 going to kind of keep them competitive at higher resolution? Like 1440p, you'll see that cache getting hit a bit more. I think 4K will probably be where it's most utilized. Which will be interesting to see how this card lines up at 4K, to be honest.
Yeah. I was going to ask about where you think it lines up against the NVIDIA lineup, because, you know, it's been trading blows with the 3070, like Dirt 5 and Hitman 3 is quite significantly higher in FPS. So
yeah, I think as ever, take those results with a pinch of salt. I think as you would with any manufacturer benchmark, because you know, they're always like, Dirt 5 is a game that's AMD's brand splashed all over it. So I do think that it's something to like keep an eye on. But they've been fair enough in putting at least one game. I think it's Watch Dogs Legion does show that the 6700 XT is actually slower than the 3060 Ti and the 3070 in that. But in other games, it's kind of, you know, fairly ahead of the 3060 Ti and trading blows with the 3070. I think overall, if I were to just entirely speculate on just where it would land based on the other cards, if it probably will land between the 3060 Ti and 3070 and maybe a little closer to 3070. But, you know, if I take a guess, I think only in the AMD kind of friendly games, it's going to go, oh, okay, well, you know, it'll be able to compete with the 3070, you know, frame to frame, or maybe even outperform it. But I think it's an important thing on that is that NVIDIA has DLSS, which isn't in every game by any means, you know, but it is a quite a big performance enhancing feature. So I think having DLSS is a big boon to NVIDIA's kind of cards, especially at that price.
But they've got an answer to that, haven't they?
NVIDIA? They do have an answer to that, which we've not heard much about, but yeah, they do have an answer.
So something about they've got ray tracing accelerators, which are now a thing, and that's like one ray tracing accelerator per compute unit. So you've got 40, that's 40 ray accelerators. And they're promising upscaling in fidelity FX super resolution. Can you explain what the heck that is?
Yeah, well, I mean, what we know of it. I think everyone here at Peace Gamer, we're just sad that it's not called AMD LSS, which is just the biggest missed opportunity ever, but there's probably many reasons for that. But super resolution, all we know is it's built off, I think it's the DirectML Microsoft machine learning kind of API and like, you know, a basic kind of code base. And then it is going to be using some form of super resolution or super scaling or something to bolster frame rates beyond what the actual graphics silicon is going to be producing in a way, I guess, akin to DLSS. We don't know a huge amount about it. AMD has said it'll be ready when it's ready, and we'll talk about it. One thing that we do know is that they're going to try and say it's an open standard, and you know, anyone can jump in if they want it. I still think that's not going to make a huge amount of difference to actually how it's being used, because realistically, AMD consoles, well, AMD powers the PlayStation 5 and the Xbox Series X and Series S. So they might use it, which would be great, I think, on console, actually, because that's a huge boon to their actual hardware. But then AMD cards will use it. Great. Is NVIDIA going to say, oh, yeah, we'll jump on that as well when they've got DLSS, they've got this whole ecosystem? I don't know. Probably not. So I don't know if it will really change. Like, even if it is open, I don't know if anyone but AMD is going to be using it. But it's kind of tough to say anything at this point. We know where DLSS stands. We know how that works. And we've seen quite big generational leaps between the first version of it, the second version of it. And now we've got AMD saying, yeah, we've got something. We've got something. We can't talk about it. We've got something. So all we can do is sit and be like, cool, we've got to trust in AMD here that they've got something and it's a good solution. It's going to work and it's going to be equivalent or good. And we just don't know. So I think if you're buying a card today, is that going to factor in much? It's, you know, that's tough to say. It can't really factor in right now because we don't have the information. So
speaking of buying a card today. Yeah. So they're supposed to be coming on sale, March 18th?
March 18th, yeah.
And they've said the price is going to be $479, which is $20 less than the 3070.
Yeah.
But can we expect to find it at that price currently?
Yeah.
Or at all?
I think that's the thing is, yeah, $20 less than the 3070 in theory, because are you going to see that card for that launch at that price? Probably. Some people will get that card at that price, I think. We've seen that before with the other one. AMD will sell it on their own site. They've got their own version of it. That card will probably sell for MSRP. How many of that card they've got to sell, and you know, will people really feel that that's the price it's coming out at? I mean, that's up in the air. Just like with the NVIDIA cards, I mean, there are cards at those cheaper prices, but finding them right now, not inflated for whatever reason, supply, cryptocurrency mining, but also just, you know, resellers, but also just the demand, the sheer demand from gamers to get these cards, because they are all good. The NVIDIA and the AMD cards we've seen so far offer such a generational leap, and they do. And I think that is really important, that they are convincing probably more gamers to make the switch who might not have otherwise done it with, say, the Turing generation from NVIDIA. That was a bit more of like a mild step up. Introduced ray tracing, that was cool. But it wasn't like a huge step up in terms of performance. Yeah. And I think with Ampere, you're definitely seeing that. And with RDNA 2, you're definitely seeing that even more so on the red team side. So I think demand is going to be huge. And this is the cheaper card, like you say, at $479. The 6800, I believe, is $579 as well. So 100 between them, I think. And so it's a lot cheaper. It will, because it's a cheaper card, just naturally attract more attention. I think they tend to be the more sold in higher volume when they're cheaper. You know, the 1060 was this massively popular card because it was kind of that good balance of performance and price, and that's where you see the big volumes shift from warehouses. So this isn't quite the cheapest card that I imagine will sell the most in the lifespan of RDNA 2. Because 479 is still a lot of money for a graphics card. I think it's easy to get caught up in it. It's still a lot of money to spend on a graphics card. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see if AMD are able to get more out. Obviously, NVIDIA's approach with this was, say, with the 3060, right, we're going to stop mining on it, so hopefully that'll get a bit more supply. Did that happen? We have no information to say whether or not. It still looked like it sold out immediately.
Yeah, on our end.
So,
Yeah.
Yeah. It looked like it went in a flash, just like every other card. I think maybe in the long run, once demand kind of levels out, supply is able to catch up, we might start seeing that prices come down and the volume come up and these cards be a bit more easy to find than the others. Mm-hmm. But for the time being, it seems like no matter where they're launching this card, they can't make enough of them to meet the demand from all, from gamers, from miners, from whatever. Can't make enough of them. So I don't see that changing with the 6700 XT. But well, I'm hopeful as ever.
We'll never say.
Yeah. It's fingers crossed. Will it happen? I wouldn't bet on it.
Get your clicking fingers ready.
Yeah. No, I think cheating.
No bots.
Even more so on this, I don't know where the best place to look. I know with the 6000 series cards that launched before, AMD's own website seemed to be quite a good place to start off. But who can say? It's really up in the air. So like you say, if you want a 6700 XT on March 18th, then I think you're going to have to be pretty quick, or maybe even go to a shop in person if it's safe to do so and you're able to do so safely, then maybe that's the way to go. But yeah, it's going to be tough.